Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Red Hot Comic Book Movie News. Shooting up your butthole. The Weekly Planet. The Weekly Planet.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, editor at that website. With me, as always, my co-host, Nick Mason. Same couch this week.
Yes. Weird. Uncomfortable. But in crystal clear stereo.
Yes.
Or mono. We've got new equipment.
I'm going to put it in mono. You don't want to listen to a podcast where it's like ear to ear for different people.
I heard that on a podcast a while back. And yeah, it was, they did it accidentally. They put it in stereo and it was super uncomfortable to listen to. But yes, we've got new equipment. So this is either going to go really well, like it's going to be super crisp audio.
Yeah.
Or we're going to accidentally delete this episode. And you know what? You know what our backup plan is? We've decided we do nothing, right?
Yeah, that's
we take
right.
a week off. If we lose an episode, that's, I don't know what other podcasts do when they have a, you know, backup plan. If we lose an episode, do we change topics and, you know, do a short one? No, we're just not going to do it.
That's it.
Going to take one off.
Canned.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, maybe look, forever.
We've built up enough good faith, right?
Yeah.
No, actually people get pretty bad when it's late.
So yeah.
Maybe.
Bad faith.
Bad faith.
So, great to be here. This is going to be great.
Yes, definitely.
This is a podcast about stuff.
It is.
Comic book, movie, and news.
Yep, and just, you know, movies in general and whatever we want to talk about. Sometimes local government.
We do talk about that. No one's interested in that. That's the drop-off, I think. That's why we don't have any goodwill. Because sometimes we get political despite not knowing anything about politics.
If we lose one, local politics episode.
Oh, great. Fantastic.
Okay, straight to the news?
Yes.
Barely the Roughly the News.
That is
I never remember which it is, what the segment is.
Roughly the
called.
News.
Good. It is this week.
Unless, yeah, okay.
Rose Byrne, you familiar with her?
Yes.
Great Australian actor woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you say it.
Has she renounced her citizenship yet, as all Australian actors do eventually?
I don't think so, no.
Okay, good on her.
Yeah, she's great. I think the first thing I remember seeing her in was in Two Hands.
Yes, that's
which
true.
Which is a very good Australian movie. It's one of the five good Australian movies, so.
They're all the good Australian movies are crime movies, I think.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So Two Hands, what's that other one?
Three Hands.
Yeah, Three Hands, the sequel. What's that other crime movie that came out? Animal Kingdom is a good one.
Oh, yeah.
One.
That's
a
really good one. I think that's a bit overrated.
Oh, fine.
Yeah. Anyway. Great. I think it's good performances. Uh-huh. There's some Ben Mendelsohn, who I love, but no, I think it's just okay.
Huh.
Yeah. Anyway. I think it's because it's Australian. People jump on board.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I heard a story about Ben Mendelsohn the other day, but it's inappropriate for this podcast. I'm going to tell it to you off the air.
Please do.
Okay.
Okay. So, yeah, anyway, Rose Byrne, who was in X-Men.
Oh, yeah, we're talking about news.
We were. That was the thing.
Yeah.
She was in X-Men First Class.
Mm-hmm. Bridesmaid. She's great in that. She's
great in Bridesmaids. But in First Class, she played Moira MacTaggert.
Oh, yes.
Remember, she was like a CIA kind of government person running and putting together the X-Men team. She's going to return in X-Men Apocalypse.
Huh?
Which is set roughly 20 years after.
Oh, she's going to have some big shoulder pads.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to go overboard with the 80s styling?
Well, there is the rumour that they're putting Dazzler in.
Yes.
Yeah.
As we've discussed on this podcast, I can't remember which episode it is, but there was a cancelled Dazzler movie.
It was the last cancelled comic book movie one that we did.
Yeah. And it sounds like an incredible Technicolor nightmare.
Yeah.
The band Kiss were in it.
Yep.
And they have superpowers.
Robin Williams is in it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
it nearly got off the ground. It was the village people were
yeah,
in
exactly,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they all have powers of their own.
Yeah. I'd love to get that animated, actually. I might speak to Sean Willis about
love it.
Yeah.
So what essentially we're saying is we hope that X-Men Apocalypse is that movie. That exact film.
It's like Parallel Dimensions and V-dub like horse-drawn VW cars
stuff.
Bizarre. But yeah, what do you think about that? Moira MacTaggert back in...
Great.
Yeah, I'm cool.
It'll be a nice... That'll be the link. Yeah. Be the bridge between the two.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. We'll get to the Fantastic Four as well. They've kind of painted themselves in the corner, though, with this time period, which kind of stops them from crossing over the Fantastic Four.
That's
in,
true.
In that era, anyway. Mm. So what are they going to do, like, are they going to time travel to the present day at some point?
Is there going to be a crossover?
Well, they've talked it because they're in this. Technically, they can be in the same universe,
right?
Because they're both owned by Fox.
Mm.
But you know,
all our favourites. I do know. I know how crossover works.
Yeah, I notice on your iPad you've got ASOS open.
I do.
But before
I'm online shopping, never let it be said that I give 100% of attention to anything, including doing this podcast. They've rebuilt the site and it's not working properly and it's upsetting me.
It doesn't look great, to be honest.
No.
I thought it'd be more aesthetically pleasing for a...
It's minimalist.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, you were saying?
You had the Joker origin open.
I do, so...
So, spoiler for this, by the way. The new 52.
Yes.
They've redone the Joker origin, or they've alluded to that he might be a certain thing. So if you haven't read it and you want to read it, skip forward as many minutes as we talk about this.
Yes. You'll know.
Yeah,
you'll just feel it in your heart, okay?
Yeah.
So just hit that scrub button long.
Go
okay.
for your life.
So they've decided now, it was Scott Snyder, who's the writer of this.
Yes.
Zack Snyder's brother.
Yes.
Probably not. I don't know. I would assume so. They've decided that the Joker now has an origin.
Yeah.
Or they're exploring more of the Joker's origin, and that in the DC universe, there's a character called Vandal Savage,
mm-hmm.
and he's immortal.
Yeah,
because he was a sort of a Cro-Magnon man, like or like a post Neanderthal kind of man who, well, depending on the version you hear, he either encountered a meteor that had crashed to Earth, and he either was
like a man hand like handshaking a meteor.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Place the mention of Mr. Meteor.
I'm just a Neanderthal man. He was either struck by the radiation from the meteor or he inhaled some sort of gases from the meteor and that made him immortal.
Those are the two comic book origins for anybody.
Yeah,
basically.
Exactly. Inhale some stuff, yeah. Radiation.
Or you're a crazy person.
That's what, yeah. So, and as a result, he's immortal and sort of he lives forever, but...
What's living, you know?
Yeah, exactly. When you don't have a lot of friends, you know? But he can... He lives forever occasionally, like, you know... Somebody will stab one of his eyes out or something like that, or one of his organs will wear out. But because he's been alive for 50,000 years, he's got literally thousands of descendants. So he can just essentially surgically remove... He kidnaps somebody, surgically removes their eye or their liver or whatever and just has it implanted in him and he just takes it on and it works.
Okay.
So...
It's very lucky.
It is very... And so his arch nemesis is the Immortal Man, who's another guy...
Yeah.
Who...
They met the same meteor?
I think they met the same meteor, yeah. So they've sort of been battling down through the centuries.
Mm.
And I think the premise now is they're saying that Ra's al Ghul, also immortal in the DC universe, who's not as immortal, is he?
He's pretty immortal.
He's only a couple of thousand... Well, he's only a couple of thousand years old. And what's a couple of thousand years, mate? Am I right? Nothing. He's a baby. But anyway, he's kept immortal through the Lazarus pits.
Yeah.
And apparently the... Part of the chemistry of the Lazarus pits comes from that meteor.
Yep,
so that's,
okay.
And so now that they've expanded that further and they're saying that the Joker also encountered the radiation of the meteor at some point before Gotham was a city.
Yeah.
So we don't know exactly the time frame, but I would assume he's younger than Ra's al Ghul,
yeah.
So maybe a couple of hundred years or something like that. So
there's some old artworks which apparently are unaltered that he's in.
Right.
But I think there's a very good chance that this will be left ambiguous.
Yes.
As into whether... Because people don't like a solidified Joker origin.
No,
I don't like it either.
I was going to say that the Joker, traditionally speaking, has never... as far as this goes, they're alluding to the fact that he is immortal, but it only comes into being when he's been, like... horrifically injured.
Yeah.
So, for example...
So you can't tell if you test him genetically.
Yeah, he just seems normal. But, for example, in the 80s, there was the Death in the Family storyline where he killed the second Robin.
Yeah.
And then he was seemingly killed in a helicopter crash, like a huge fire explosion that nobody could have escaped from. But then he came back, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's implied that's because this power activated and then he...
Even though this is New 52, it's different.
Exactly.
Though all that stuff kind of still happened
in
New 52. Yeah.
And so, traditionally speaking, the Joker doesn't have an origin.
Mm.
Like, there's A lot is implied. Mm. We must have discussed this before.
There's the Red Hood one.
Yeah, his first appearance in the sort of the 40s, he just started showing up and killing people,
yeah.
Which is sort of quite accurate, the Nolan Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Like, he's taken a lot of cues from a lot of different DC media.
Yeah.
He just shows up.
When Batman has to get rid of that bomb, just exactly. In the 66
Just
movie.
Running down piers, just nonstop. He has no particular origin, like the killing joke.
Yeah.
It's implied that every time he tells the story of his origin, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if that's because it's just he does that to amuse himself, or because he doesn't remember where he came from, kind of thing. And also, like the 89 Batman movie, it's implied he has a sort of a military origin.
Mm.
Because, he says, you kill 1,000 soldiers, nobody cares, it's all part of the plan, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think it is...
Wait, the 89 Batman? Does that have a
name? Oh, no, in the 89 Batman, he's like a special forces...
Oh, really? Is that in the novelization or something?
No, it's in the movie as well.
Really?
You see his sort of data file. Batman digs it up, he's Jack Napier.
Is that before or after the Let's Get Nuts scene?
That's after the Let's Get Nuts scene, good. I think, yes. But yeah, he's like he's a sort of a special forces soldier, and he specialized in chemical weapons and things like that, which is why he can build all the Smilex, the poison gas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think Nolan's taken that element as well and sort of built this ambiguous origin. But yeah, so Joker in the comic books especially has always had this very ambiguous origin, and I think that's part of the appeal.
Yeah.
Like, if you take, say, Marvel's Wolverine, he always had quite an ambiguous origin, and that's how he maintained, I think, his popularity. Because he was kind of this cool character. You could imagine whatever.
It's like that mysterious kid at school who comes. You're like, where's this guy from?
Where'd he get that cool leather jacket?
Yeah. He's from the suburb over.
And so, but then when Wolverine's origin is eventually revealed,
it's fine.
It's fine, but whatever you built up in your head is better than that.
Yeah.
Because your brain just goes, oh, fills in the blank. He must have had this amazing backstory kind of thing.
It was about 15 years and we didn't know Wolverine's origin. Or was it a bit longer than that?
Well, his first appearance was in The Hulk, which was in the 60s.
Yeah. I would have been longer than that. But they didn't really start to get into his origin until much later than that.
We didn't really get to his origin until maybe the 90s when he got like a proper solo series.
Yeah.
And we saw bits and pieces. We knew he was part of...
an experiment.
We knew in the 80s that he was part of Weapon X, and then in the 90s we discovered that Weapon X had like a special forces team and he was on that, and Sabretooth and a couple of other team members.
Yeah.
And that,
the guy from the Will.i.am guy from Black
Ages. Yeah, exactly. Kestrel. Thank you, Kestrel. But all we learned from that is that he had a lot of fake memories built over his real memory. Yeah, so even though we knew that he had that memory wipe, memory alteration, we didn't actually know his origin. Yeah. And it took until... Was the series just called Origin, I think, maybe?
That was a relatively recent one, maybe 2008.
And then we discover that he's James Howlett from Canada, and he's a little Lord Fauntleroy, fancy, sickly lad, and runs off into the forest. Fa-la-la-la.
And that's what they did in the movie.
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. Anyway, what were we talking about? Oh, yeah, the Joker.
The Joker. So now, in that panel that you had open, you see the Joker swimming underwater.
Yeah.
Do you reckon there's any implication there that he can breathe underwater? Or do you
Because
it didn't occur to me until just then when I'm looking at it, because I read that the other day.
I think that's just a terrifying visual.
That
is a
terrifying visual.
Like, imagine you're underwater. No, I think that's just somebody is swimming and they get caught in a rip. Yeah. And they're trying to escape, and then you see you wouldn't want to see the Joker swimming.
That's worse than a shark.
It's much worse than a shark. Look at his little cap. It's weird. Anyway, I think my hope is that they keep it very ambiguous.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you see him near a meteor. He's at a meteor appreciation society.
Yeah,
He's eating dinner off a glowing meteor. Exactly, but because we don't... Yeah, or, I mean, you could maybe... Because there are pictures of like a Joker-esque character from, 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe you could say that he was inspired by that or something like that. Like, there's a lot of ways to make it vague.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of like maybe there's kind of a supernatural element to this. But if you put it out there and say it, I think it kind of ruins the magic of the Joker.
Absolutely.
The murderous magic.
Well, because they redid the Red Hood gang. for the new 52.
Right, okay.
And it was, again, left ambiguous as to whether the leader of the Red Hood gang was the Joker. It was like, it could have been, it might not have been. So I think this is the way it's going to go.
Yeah.
That will, you know, we'll find out in the next issue or the next couple issues. Anyway, but yeah, have you read that entire run?
I'm not up to date.
Yeah, you should totally.
I will.
Or don't, whatever. Just do whatever.
I will. Okay. Don't tell me what to do or don't do. Wait, which side am I on?
I don't know.
I'll do it. I'll close this tab.
Do whatever it was.
We've gone back to ASOS. Isn't this loaded yet? God damn it.
I've got good internet here as well. That should be fine.
It's they've rebuilt the site. Anyway, it's not finished yet.
Anyway. You know how they're making that new Terminator movie?
Yes.
They're apparently going to do some, add some additional scenes to the T-800 fight.
Oh, yes.
Where old Arnold Schwarzenegger fights young Arnold Schwarzenegger.
In the 80s.
In the 80s. Mm-hmm. They're going to redo that, but they're not going to reshoot it. They're going to use CGI and make it more brutal.
Great.
I guess you can make a CGI fight look okay now as well. And one of them has to be CGI anyway.
Yes.
Or partially, because one of them's young Arnold Terminator man.
Or... You see them, like, run at each other.
Mm.
There's a bit of grappling, and then they get flung into a hat store, and they both decide to put on really big, broad-brimmed hats. And then it doesn't matter who's under those hats.
It does not.
Just two big guys. Doesn't matter.
So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Because I think after the trailer and how people responded to that, they probably thought, well, maybe this won't measure up to what people think.
Yes.
That it's going to be. Because I think that's probably the scene that people are most excited
Absolutely,
about.
Yeah.
Like, there's a bit where he barrels through the helicopter, but that, to me, pales in comparison to that.
Yeah.
I want to see that fight, and I want to see him interact with the punks.
Yes,
that's
definitely,
what I want. Those are the two.
You want to see if his modern-day conservative values come through. You know?
Well, yeah. Like, he pins one down and gives him a haircut. Is that what you said?
Definitely, yeah. Mm, yeah.
That'd be great. You know, Star Wars is still happening, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be weird if they just cancelled all of a sudden?
How amazing. I mean, I really want to see that. I would be upset.
Yep.
But that would be pretty great.
Definitely.
Apparently, there's going to be Hutts in the new Star Wars.
As in Jabba the Hutts.
Well, yeah, not him. But yeah.
No, yeah.
Others.
Okay, sure.
Other Hutts.
Great.
So, and they're using puppetry, which is wise.
Yes.
Are you for or against the Jabba the Hutt scene being added to A New Hope?
The one where Han Solo has a conversation with him.
With a big CGI.
I'm against it, I think.
Yeah.
And there's also because they had to add like little bits of personality to it. I'm doing air quotes, personality.
Yes.
Where doesn't somebody walk
this
on his
This new microphone picks up air quotes.
Great.
So you don't even need to
Fantastic.
Say that. Yeah.
People are like, air quotes. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, he's making the jack-off motion. Great. Yeah, isn't there a bit where like somebody stands on his tail and he's like, whoa.
Yeah, because the problem with the shot was they used an actor, they put in an actor who they were then going to replace
who
with.
Who kind of looks like a hobbit.
Yes.
If you've seen that.
Who they were going to replace with like a stop motion kind of furry kind of puppeteer kind of dude. And they ran out of time and money and they didn't include it for whatever reason. But the problem with the scene was there's a bit where Han Solo circles back around him.
Right.
And if he's Jabba the Hutt, the tail's in the way, so he can't do it. So they made it so he steps on the tail.
Right.
Which doesn't really fit in with Return of the Jedi. Like, he would never step on that
right,
guy.
Right, exactly.
Like, he would... And he doesn't... Like, he looks... It's really jarring how different he looks.
Mm.
And I think they shouldn't have put the scene in for one because it spoils the Jabba the Hutt reveal.
I don't think you care at all what my opinion is on this scene. I think you just wanted to say what your opinion was on this scene.
You're probably right.
Wow.
Did you say everything you wanted to say?
I would say that the reveal of what Jabba the Hutt is much better.
Yeah.
Like in Return of the Jedi.
Because they mention him a couple times.
Yeah. It's like that fake scene from Return of the Jedi where Luke Skywalker builds the lightsaber in a cave. It ruins the surprise.
Mm. That he has a lightsaber.
Yes. Yeah. That he didn't come in. That he didn't come in unarmed as a Jedi.
Or he didn't turn up with a tennis racket or something.
Yeah.
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 But not only that, if they
or he didn't turn up and then he's like, oh, I forgot to build a lightsaber. Oh. That's me making a gosh darn it motion.
They know.
Yeah, I know. You can hear it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think also if they insisted on putting it in, you put a puppet over it. You film a puppet on green screen and you slot it in.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, that's what do we know about filmmaking, Mason?
Heaps.
We're just a couple of guys sitting weirdly on a couch together. J.K. Simmons was asked.
Oh, here we go. Yep.
Whether he would ever play J. Jonah Jameson again,
and he said in a heartbeat. Or something
he did
like
say
that?
In a heartbeat, but he also said, "I just heard that we that that's a possibility. I don't care whether they reboot it or they if they end up doing the Tobey Maguire universe again, which they won't.
No, absolutely.
Or if they continue the Andrew Garfield or whatever, put him back in it.
Definitely.
It doesn't matter. He translates in whatever version you want to do. Put him back in it. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed?
Yes.
Yeah. Good. I think, yeah, we've said before, it's probably the best piece of comic book casting.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, the Joker's great and you love Val Kilmer as Batman.
Yeah, I mean, the Joker, Heath Ledger as the Joker is great.
Mm.
I see that swipe at me for Val Kilmer. The Joker is great, but that's a whole new take.
Yeah.
Like, it's not accurate.
No.
It's thematically accurate, I guess, but it doesn't look anything like him or, you know.
Yeah.
But Simmons nailed it.
Yep. Yeah, dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Ghostbusters 3 has been cast.
Oh,
the
yes.
All-female reboot.
Yeah. I mean, we knew this was happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People still don't like it very
Boy,
much.
Boy, they're upset. People are upset.
We've spoken about before how we don't care that it's being rebooted or whatever.
Yeah. It was a dead franchise.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, in certain cases, literally dead.
Yes.
Like, I know, too much.
Yes.
But look, we had at least one quarter of the cast isn't alive anymore.
Yes.
One quarter of the cast has no interest in being in it. That's Bill Murray.
Yes.
The other one quarter of the cast is probably too busy selling his Crystal Head vodka.
And he might be crazy.
Oh, he's definitely crazy.
Yeah.
And,
That's Bill Murray. Yeah, not Bill Murray, sorry, but that's Dan Aykroyd.
That's Dan Aykroyd.
And Henry Hudson's like, whatever.
Yeah, I'll probably do it. Why not? Yeah. Be fun. But yeah, no, and
you can't have an Ernie Hudson, Dan Aykroyd Ghostbuster movie.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Unless it's just them. Remember in the start of Ghostbusters 2, when they're down and out and they're just doing children's birthday parties together? So maybe just an hour of that.
Sure.
But, yeah, that franchise is done.
Yeah.
If you want to watch it, it's still there.
Yep. Do you like 2? I think I saw 2 first.
Oh, okay.
So I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people hate it.
It's not, I've watched Ghostbusters a lot of times in my life.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2, not so much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fine and people are good in it, but there's a lot of rehashing.
It's a bit scary,
isn't
it?
There's scary ghosts in it. It's ghosts. It's a bit of that in the weird slimy water. Ooh,
yeah.
Dangerous.
Gross.
And they tried to, like, you know, they needed a big finish with a big kind of
thing.
So it became the Statue of Liberty kind of thing.
Controlled with a Nintendo controller.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fine, but yeah.
I found that Vigo guy really terrifying as a kid.
Yeah.
Like,
definitely.
He's quite scary.
Mm.
Who's the villain in the end of the first one? What's his name again?
Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
No, not that. The person.
Zool.
Yeah. So do you think
Zool?
I think Vigo's scarier than Zool.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm.
The Carpathian, right?
Correct.
God, that
So anyway, internet's mad again, of course.
Oh yeah, the cast though.
Yeah. Also,
do you want
to? Women had childhoods too. You know, they're allowed to enjoy Ghostbusters and then a new Ghostbusters. It's fine.
Sure.
Yeah.
Kristen Wiig.
Nothing's ruining your childhood. She's great.
She's great. Melissa McCarthy.
Also great.
People are very on the fence with her. Like, I'm sick of her. I'm sick of her. Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care. Whatever.
Correct. Yeah.
Leslie Jones. Who I'm not that familiar with.
Neither am I.
And Kate McKinnon.
Who's on SNL.
Yeah. I think Leslie Jones is as well. I think. So, yeah, whatever. I don't care. Yeah,
it's good.
If it's bad, then people will be happy. If it's good, people will be happy. So,
people will be unhappy. People will constantly be unhappy forever until the end of time.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Look, it's Paul Feig. I like Paul Feig. He's done great stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he's good, isn't he?
Yeah.
What's he done? Bridesmaids.
Yep, The Heat.
The Heat.
Maybe another thing.
He probably did at least another movie.
He's probably fielded a lot of questions about all-female Ghostbusters.
I don't doubt it.
Mm-hmm.
He probably, gets attacked on Twitter a lot. So,
do we know if there's going to be... At this point, have they nailed down any cameos from...
I believe they've talked about putting Bill Murray in as like a skeptical guy who's against ghosts or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Skeptical ghost man.
Yeah.
Great.
But I'll tell you this.
What if he's a skeptical guy about ghosts who is himself a ghost? we got to ring that number. You know, the Bill Murray number?
There's a Bill Murray number?
Yeah, because Bill Murray doesn't have an agent anymore.
Yeah.
So you've got to ring a New York number and you leave a voicemail. And if he's interested in the project, he will get back to you.
Is that real?
That's how he gets jobs now.
Can anybody ring that number?
I think you'd have to have it. I don't think it's public available. I think you have to.
If someone has that number, we want it.
We want it. We will pitch. He will be interested in a role in the new Ghostbusters as a man who is skeptical of ghosts, but is himself a ghost. And then we get writer's credit.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're basically trying to get ourselves a job in this movie.
I think so, yeah. We're going to shoehorn our way in. Yeah.
Absolutely. If we turn up with Murray, yeah.
Oh, yeah, give us a job, absolutely, yeah.
David Tennant is entering the Marvel Cinematic Universe as Doctor Who. No.
Wait, did you say David Tennant?
Yes.
Did you say David Kent? And I'm like, oh.
It's David Kent.
Exactly. I panicked. I'm like, that's a guy. Is that a character? Is it an actor? I don't know. I'm worried. You could feel my worry on the new podcast.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, David Tennant is entering.
Yeah, he's going to be in Jessica Jones. He's going to be. Yes. He's going to be the Purple Man.
Oh, okay. He can play creepy.
Definitely.
Yeah. What if he was going to be Power Man? Luke Cage, hero for hire. That would have been great. What a twist.
What a twist.
Truly, yeah. We live in a post-race society.
The Purple Man's a good character. Mm. Not a massive character, but he's obviously got ties to Jessica Jones because he's brainwashed her and all sorts of bad stuff. He's a bad dude.
And we get to see him being beaten up, probably.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
So that'll please non-fans of David Tennant, so everybody wins.
That's right. I don't think there's such a thing, Mason. He's so charming.
He's very charming.
Do you like his broad American accent? It's very broad. I don't think I've seen him do a broad...
He's in the American remake of Broadchurch.
He is, yeah. He's in both versions.
Is it basically exactly the same?
I don't... As far as I know it is. I've heard it's good, though. Mm-hmm. Actually, someone emailed this week and said it's good. I can't remember. But yeah, I've been meaning to watch that, but I haven't. I watched The Fall this week, though.
Good. Yeah,
it's pretty good. Didn't end that well. Anyway, doesn't matter.
Spoiler alert. Oh, by the way, we finished talking about the Joker's origin. I just remembered. We stopped talking about that so you can listen again now.
Definitely.
Everybody switched off.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Marvel Cinematic Universe expands. I'm surprised that they didn't give him a movie role. But I guess he's not that big an actor, he's popular, but he's not that well known.
Yeah, he was in Fright Night, I guess.
He was in Harry Potter 4.
Oh.
But he was not in it a lot because he was playing... Brendan Gleeson played the guy that he was pretending to be. And then he switched back at the end. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the point. Come back in if you
don't
want.
Come back now. Great. Back in.
Yeah, but great. Whatever.
Hmm.
You remember last week we talked about how Ezra Miller found out he was going to be the Flash?
Oh, he was in some sort of South American country chilling with the natives.
Eating a fish off a leaf or something.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Whatever he was doing. Yeah. Well, they found out
just
more.
Just participating in some tribal culture down there. Just part in a little... little ceremony.
Basically,
as being invited to be part of the tribe.
Basically, the story was last week that he was talking about how he found out he was the Flash, and he put in all this extra detail about he was just really off the grid, you know?
Off the grid, doing exotic stuff, and then he got a phone call from the director.
Well, actually, I've got some more details on that moment.
Oh, great.
So, first of all, this is his words. He was at a remote landlocked town in the middle of Costa Rica. When his phone rang. That's interesting,
right? There you go, yeah.
Hang on. I got this call and I'm thinking, this is really weird, he explained, because he was completely unaware at the time that they even had cell phone reception in Costa Rica.
What an asshole.
Turns out the call was from his agent, who was on the other line with someone who needed to speak with Miller about the Flash. So his agent was like, you know, it's bloody Zack Snyder.
Oh, yeah, great.
Yeah, there's a lot of great detail in that story, isn't there?
What I enjoy about this is somebody has asked for more detail. Or maybe no one's asked for more detail.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And he's just... I remember I heard that story about... Like, maybe he felt he didn't get enough attention from the first version of the story. So now he's just in bars, like, unbidden, just telling people the expanded version. Like, here's the director's cut. The Zack Snyder director's cut. Ugh.
All right, so here we go. Chris Pratt, you familiar with him?
Yes.
Obviously, actor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nice guy. He's always doing charity stuff. He stole the Star-Lord uniform so he can go like visit kids
That's
in
pretty
hospital.
Good, yeah.
What a legend. Mm. Hope Disney pull him up on it, though, because that cannot be allowed.
That's where he's out.
Yeah. Anyway, Sean Kelly.
Deadpool writer?
No, sorry. That's something else. I'll come back to this.
Okay. Spoiler alert, Sean Kelly wrote Deadpool or something.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'll get to the other Chris Pratt thing, but you know how he's in Cowboy Ninja Viking?
Yes.
They're aiming to get the directors, they say, from John Wick, two guys, to do that.
Yep.
So, have you seen John Wick?
Look, I've seen...
The Matrix.
Yeah, I've seen The Matrix.
Yeah.
I skimmed John Wick, I think we talked about this, and I'm like, it's kind of okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it another shot.
Yeah.
Like, the general consensus on the internet is it's...
Amazing.
Amazing. Yeah. And thought it was just kind of okay.
It's pretty solid, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's not...
It's a slow burn and the
action's quite good.
Yeah, so like... There's a nightclub action scene that looks really good.
He can really move.
Yeah.
And that's clearly him, like in a lot of those shots.
That's
50.
Yeah, exactly. That's the, you know, 6 months of Matrix.
Yeah.
Hollywood Kung Fu that he learned. I think that's... He's got that forever now, I think.
Yeah.
Mm.
I like how people are also really on board with Keanu Reeves. Remember, like, in the 90s?
Yeah.
People are like, he's wooden, he sucks and whatever.
Yeah.
I guess he is, but I've never found him that way. Right, I always found him really, I don't know, endearing? I don't know what...
I think he's gotten better at choosing roles that accommodate his wooden acting kind of thing. Yeah. And, like, The Matrix is perfect because it was a lot of, whoa.
What?
Yeah, exactly. Having the computers?
Kung Fu.
Like, they just, I think they just put him in front of, like, some computers. He's like, compute? What? Whoa. And I remember when, like, he did Bill and Ted, and then he sort of did some other stuff that was not good, and then he disappeared for a while. And then when the first trailer for The Matrix came out, it, like, all the effects weren't completed, and there was just, it was a little bit vague. And when Keanu Reeves came up,
everyone
laughed in the theatre. Yeah, like, yeah. And who's laughing now?
Us.
Yeah.
Wait. But we're laughing at something unrelated.
Yeah.
It happened before the show.
Just a funny thing.
Yeah.
In the past, yeah.
But Speed's great.
Yeah.
Like, Speed's probably one of my favourite action movies. Mm. And, you know, Point Break is good.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, not the point. Constantine's great also.
Yeah.
I know it's not comic accurate and whatever.
But we'll never have a comic accurate version of Constantine. It's never going to happen.
What about on the television?
That's not.
Isn't it?
Not really.
I haven't seen enough of it.
Yeah, because in the TV version, he's hunting out evil.
Yeah.
And comic book Constantine doesn't do that.
No, he hates it.
He gets himself out of the fire every time. Like, he's the bad things he's done have got him into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
And when it comes back to bite him in the ass,
he's like, ugh.
He tricks enough people that he can get out of it again for now.
Yeah, and he'll sell his soul for a little bit.
So. Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what that movie got mostly correct, you know. Yeah. He's mostly not out looking for trouble.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
Unlike that Ezra Miller, floating around places he shouldn't be.
Exactly.
Also, Ezra
Miller. Absorbing the culture.
We're cool with Ezra Miller being the Flash and whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Anyway. But
maybe we'll get a good version of Constantine in Justice League Dark.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be cool. Who would you cast? Sting. Who else would you cast, though, if you had to?
I cast Sting. Sting's
brother.
No, Sting. Sting.
Okay.
He's
now,
old. He looks great.
He's got he doesn't have a lot of hair, though, now. I mean, you could put a wig on him.
You could put a wig. Did you see Birdman?
No,
wig technology for older actors is just leaps and bounds now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, he's got, like, in...
Look at John Travolta.
Have you not seen Birdman yet?
No,
I'm not the guy who's like, oh, you're my god, you haven't seen... Right, I'm not that guy, obviously. But you're my god, you haven't seen Birdman? But, like, they're good at making a wig that makes it look like he's a man with thinning hair.
Okay.
When in fact he's a man with very thin hair. You see him and you go, he's got great thinning hair for an old guy, and then he takes the wig off and you're like, oh my god, he's basically bald.
Wignology.
Wigception. The wig in a wig.
All right, well, I guess I'll watch it to that scene and then I'll turn it off.
Then turn it off, yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah,
that's right at the end.
Oh, what?
Spoiler alert, no, it's not.
Chris Pratt, anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Back to.
That's right.
Do we want to talk about the new design Superman costume before we get into this? You got that open, so... I like being on the same couch. I can see what you're up to.
Yeah. Buying stuff on the internet, looking at Superman.
Now, the artist of that is the artist who did Kick-Ass, isn't it?
It's a John Aromata Jr.
Now, I'm not
the famous John Aromata
his
Jr.
His art, I don't think, suits Superman.
No, but look at that angsty face.
Yeah.
Ah, I'm sort of crying a bit, I think. But look at my hair, it's weird. Where's my spit curl? I'm a weird-looking guy.
I feel like he fits definitely Kick-Ass, but I think... I even don't, because he did World War Hulk, not World War Hulk, what was the one, we made it on that, but he did...
Planet Hulk?
No, he did World War Hulk, sorry. Uh-huh. And I don't think that he's, it's a bit surrealist, I think, a lot of it.
Right, okay.
So, and a bit kind of, the proportions are off. And I don't think he's a bad artist, but I don't think it necessarily suits, say, Superman.
I think it suits a Superman who is doing, like, he's going out into space and he's going to, you know, the fourth world, he's going to fight Darkseid.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. I think that environment... really works because it's very kind of stylized.
Sure.
And, you know, Darkseid is an enormous rocky man, creature man kind of thing and all that sort of stuff. And there's a lot of, you know, blocky, weird alien technology. Mm. So if there's going to be some storylines set in space.
How's the wignology in space?
It's excellent. It's
probably
amazing.
Pretty good. Probably like a holographic laser wig or something.
Laser wigs, exactly. Singularity wigs, yeah.
Oh my god.
That's right.
Anyway, new costume.
New costume, okay.
There's a few changes.
Right. It's not as like
liney.
It's not as liney.
And it's got those. It's
doesn't have all the piping
segments.
On it. Yeah.
He's got the fingerless gloves.
He's got the. Well, he's got the. Yeah, he's got. They're not. It's not they're even not really gloves. Yeah. It's kind of the sleeves extend to like
his palms,
his knuckles kind
yeah.
of thing over his palms and stuff like that. Red underpants still gone.
They got rid of the V-neck.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a V on the side of the neck that they got rid of. It's still that high collar though.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I think the belt buckle changes shape.
Oh, jeez.
I think it was square.
Wow, people are going to be very unhappy or very happy. Who knows?
Somebody made the point that the good thing about the red trunks is, which they still haven't brought back, as you said, it
yep.
breaks up the costume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you think they should bring it back? Or,
nah,
or also, who cares?
It's ridiculous.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So you think the red belt is enough?
Yes.
All right.
Mm, good.
What shape do you want that buckle to be?
I want it to be S. I want it to be the Superman S shape.
Two S's.
Two S's.
Do you want the S on the back as well, or is that too many
on the
S's?
Cape.
No. Yeah. And the back and shaved in the back of his head.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. That's a good question. I'm going to say no S on the cape.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because that'd be three S's. That's crazy.
The Brandon Routh Superman had a lot of S's. Do you remember
that entire suit was S's?
S on the belt. The suit was all S's.
Yeah, it was like tessellated S's down it. Yeah.
The belt on the back of the boots. I think there was one on the back of the cape also. I uh-huh. can't remember. And there was obviously the one on the front.
And he had them tattooed on his eyelids.
Yeah, and if you lift up his spit curl, there's one under there as well.
Great.
So, yeah. But yeah, whatever. I mean, they changed all the time. Who cares?
Yeah.
The trunks will come back. Like, let's not kid ourselves.
Really? Do you think so?
Definitely. Eventually.
They haven't come back on Batman.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually.
Mm.
They might.
Maybe they'll come back on a different character, like Constantine.
Or like Batman puts them on him?
Yeah, like the red underpants.
Great. Mm. Anyway, Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt, we're back to Chris Pratt.
Apparently Disney is lining him up for Indiana Jones.
Okay, good.
So you're cool with that?
Yeah.
We've got Sean Kelly has written in, who's the writer of that thing you said.
I think maybe it's unrelated.
Okay, good. Is the official offician? No, official officians? I don't know what I've got here. I've written something wrong. And he's worried that he might get sick of looking at his face. Seems he's going to be in Jurassic World. He's going to he's obviously Star-Lord.
Yep.
Cowboy Ninja Viking and various other projects.
There's going to be one Cowboy Ninja Viking movie though, surely.
Yes.
That'll appear and disappear very quickly, I would say.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah.
Unless it's really good.
But look, I think
maybe it'll be a trilogy and the first one's a cowboy.
so good.
Yeah.
I think that they've decided it worked for Harrison Ford, it's going to work for Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Like, we had Han Solo and Indiana Jones running at the same time.
Yep.
Let's have Star-Lord and Indiana Jones running at the same time now.
I love Chris Pratt, and I don't think people will get sick of him. Not yet, anyway.
Uh-huh.
But I feel that he might be a too jovial for Indiana Jones, so he'd have to really kind of take that back a notch.
Okay, sure.
Because, again, Indiana Jones is... He's kind of...
He's exasperated most
of the time. Exactly. He hates everything, like Harrison Ford.
Mm.
And
yes.
Yeah, so you're going to have to bring kind of more of that into it. Like, less kind of winking, kind of Star-Lord-y kind of nods.
Yeah.
And more playing it straight.
Yeah, but I think...
running after Sean Connery. Keep Sean Connery.
Yeah, definitely. I think he's going to know that going in.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be like, you're in two big franchises. You're going to have to differentiate this somehow.
If you steal this uniform as well.
Yeah. We've only got one. There's only one hat left.
Yeah.
I don't make them anymore. And we don't have the technology. We're not in space. We can't make you another hat. So don't steal it.
Do you think anybody can pull off a fedora in real life?
That is a tough call. Not anymore, really. Because you can't do it casual. You can't do t-shirt, jeans, fedora.
It does happen, though.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm not saying they should.
But it's also, like, if you wear, like a three-piece suit.
Yeah.
That's your license to wear a fedora, but if you do, you look kind of retro kind of thing. And like, it's a very tough call.
You're not a hat guy, are you?
I have a lot of hats that I don't wear a lot. They're just
you're one of those
case.
Samuel L. Jackson hats? You know, like
a Kangol. Absolutely, yeah. I do. I have heaps of them.
Do you really?
I keep them behind glass, and if there's an emergency, I break that glass. I put on a hat.
Great. Do you have a big floppy sun hat?
No.
Do you have one of those hats with the corks on it, as all Australians do?
Yes.
Good.
Because I'm Australian.
Yes. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got an email here from Patrick, the official cheesehead of the show. He said, do you think there's anyone better than him, though?
Is he from Green Bay?
That's okay, very good.
Yeah, I know.
He actually gave the explanation, but you...
I know who the Green Bay Packers are.
I don't. Or do you? Or do I?
You do now.
Great.
They're a football team.
I know what footballs is.
Okay, sure. Good. Great. I wonder who's in the Super Bowl tomorrow.
Who's in it?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Seahawks, I think. The Seahawks.
They're a good one.
They would, you know what? They would determine this so good before the Super Bowl started. It's just them playing.
Yeah. You know, they've started releasing a lot of the Super Bowl clips online, like the ads, before.
That's not fun.
Nah, it's not, is it? But then again, I guess, I don't know. I guess they make them online eventually, but you know, it's like, but again, like movie trailers, we now see them online before we, like, I'm never surprised by a trailer when I go to
movies. No, in the cinema, absolutely, yeah.
But anyway, whatever, who cares?
Yeah, Super Bowl. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah.
Thanks for the digression, idiots. No, I'm sorry. That's mean.
Do you think there's anyone better than him to play the role? Like, because I know Bradley Cooper's always also been thrown up, and I think he would be a great idea also. I'd be happy with either of those.
That is a good question.
Mm.
Bradley Cooper. I think he's too good looking.
I have that.
I know. God. The audience can tell now. Okay. Listeners can tell because of the new equipment. I don't know. Look, I've probably said I'm for that in the past on this podcast.
Yeah.
But I've changed my mind.
Okay.
And it doesn't quite strike me.
Okay, sure.
You see him kind of roguish. More annoying than anything else.
Do you think they... Or do you think maybe they should go with somebody unknown?
Like who?
Like you, Mason.
Yeah!
No, you don't think so?
Well, I mean, unless there's somebody who... See, well, I don't know, because they're unknown.
Yeah, good point. I don't know why I brought it up, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe somebody unknown who looks exactly like the Indiana Jones in our minds.
Yes.
And acts like him also. So if you've got that, let us know. We will call Bill Murray's hotline, and we will let them know. We bring Bill Murray in. We are definitely getting the writing
Bill
job.
Bill Murray as Indiana Jones' dad? Or Marcus?
Or any of those, yeah. Yeah.
Or the Grail. Or that knight who's guarding the Grail.
Oh, yeah, and he's like,
what's up?
Nice, yeah. Good.
All right, Mission Impossible 5 has been moved, the date that it's coming out on.
Okay.
It was originally going to be December 25th of this year.
Yep.
But it's been moved to July 31st of this year.
Right.
So they moved it forward. I'm assuming that's to, you don't want to release it around the same time as Star Wars.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Because that's madness.
Yeah.
That's very rare, though, that they'll put a movie forward.
Right.
So there must have been a window there that weekend's not a strong weekend, or they think they can do all right.
Would that mean that they're confident in it?
I would say so. I would say they're not so confident that they think that people will watch a Tom Cruise movie over Star Wars.
Right, exactly.
But they're confident
enough
to, you know, to kind of plonk it mid-summer-ish.
And this is the Brad Bird one?
Yes. No, Brad Bird. This is the guy who did Jack Reacher. Great. I can't remember his name.
Sure.
But yeah. But I think... Yeah, I like these movies, so I'm going to say it anyway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think anything that comes out around Star Wars time is going to get lost.
Correct.
That is not Star Wars.
Yes. Yeah. What about Avatar? Do you think Avatar could go up against Star Wars? The answer is no, obviously. You
is
idiot.
Is it?
Yes.
It's possible.
There is nobody on the planet who would see Avatar over Star Wars.
I think there is.
Write in to Mason if you think there is.
Okay, good. Not if you are that person. No. Got no interest in that. But if you think, you can think of someone.
Anyway, Fox are looking to bring the X-Men to the small screen.
Okay, sure.
Generation
X reboot.
God, remember that?
Yeah, garbage.
God.
Garbage.
Was that actually set in... Was that actually supposed to be the X-Men?
No, that was Generation X.
So it definitely had no affiliation with the X-Men at all.
No, at the time they were the junior version of the X-Men.
Okay, sure.
You're thinking of Mutant X.
I am thinking of Mutant X, you're right. Yep. Yeah. Was that the X-Men?
No, I think Mutant X...
Which one had Lex Luthor from...
Mutant X.
Yeah.
Mutant X, I think that was so Fox could retain the rights to mutants and things with X in the title.
Yes.
Like, I think that's the only reason, because... It was a mild, like, when I watched that first episode, I'm like, this is clearly, like, some sort of cheap rip-off cash-in. Marvel are going to sue these guys. They're not going to get the full season out. And then it got to the end and it was like, Marvel Productions. And I'm like, what?
What?
So.
This is what, 97, maybe?
Maybe something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a terrible show. But it was, the mutants weren't a sort of a natural evolution of humanity. They'd all been produced in a lab.
Okay.
By a guy who looked exactly like Andy Warhol for some reason. Like with a weird white wig and everything.
Was he a good guy?
No, he was a bad guy.
Oh, yeah.
That Lex sounds like Luthor every show guy, from Twist.
That sounds like every show from the night. It sounds like
Dark Angel.
Dark Angel.
Yeah.
Sounds like other things, doesn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. I can't think of any others. That's Birds of Prey was probably in a lab for a bit.
Yeah, definitely probably.
I think that was early 2000s, yeah. So that doesn't count, does it?
But that was one of those shows that I watched because it was... There was very limited superhero kind of media at the time, but it was all like all the this. And it, I think it was just it might have been just post Matrix.
Okay, yeah.
Because everybody had like cool leather coats and they were cool guys and they all fought like, just like generic government agents like Agent Smith kind of characters.
Right.
And but they all had cool like leather jackets and cool martial arts moves and cool mutant powers kind of thing.
Did they have enough cool stuff though? Is that enough?
I think they had a cool jet as well. But also, they had all that stuff, but they were all the characters were profoundly stupid because they were written so poorly. Like, there was an episode of that show where they're fighting a character who can convert into, like, can transform into data and to get into computer systems.
That sounds very 90s.
And what they did is they knocked him unconscious and they left him unsupervised in a room in their headquarters that had... like a data connection, like an unsecured data connection. And then he got into their computer systems and like, and got environmental control and like turned off the oxygen in their headquarters kind of thing.
Where was their headquarters?
In a mountain range or something?
Was it underground?
Yes.
Because otherwise you just open a window.
Yeah, good point.
Did somebody end up going into the computer to battle him?
No, I think...
That's my favorite thing.
I don't know what they did. It's irrelevant because they're idiots. Because I think at that point I'm like, I really hope they all die. Also, I don't know how it ended.
Okay, series. Cool. Great. Well, that sounds really good.
Yeah, it was really good.
Well, anyway, Fox are looking to bring it to the small screen. But here's the kicker,
yes.
Mason.
Uh-huh.
It's pending the approval of Marvel because they only own the cinematic rights.
Interesting.
So they have to go to Marvel and be like, can we make this?
No. Why would Marvel do that? They're actively trying to kill off Fox and Sony.
Yeah.
Like, not only their...
Also Fox.
Yeah.
And Sony. But yeah.
Yeah. They, like... No, they would never do that. Maybe they would.
What? It's possible. Maybe with with some conditions, like we want this character back or we want to use the word mutant or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they think there's a chance this could happen if they're talking about it.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
You're right. That is actually an excellent point that I didn't think about.
Mm.
This is some leverage.
See, this is why this podcast works, Mason, because we both think of things.
Oh, we mostly think of things, don't we? Just think of things, say things.
Yep.
Pause sometimes, say more things. Great. But no, that is a good point. They've got some leverage.
Yeah.
They could take back, I don't know, some character they like.
I'm trying to think of who. After Daredevil came back.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's fine. They can keep all the X-Men. I'm glad Daredevil's back.
Because
they were going to make that 1970s Daredevil kind of
movie.
That would
have been great.
It would have been, but I'd rather see him... I'm happy they're doing it the way they are.
Yeah, okay.
Because you can bring in elements of that
into
the modern day. Because they're making a gritty kind of... Because apparently Hell's Kitchen does not look like that now. It's quite nice.
Right, of course, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They haven't changed the names, though.
No.
Yeah. Or maybe they have, I don't know.
Hmm.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I mentioned this before, but I would have loved to see... like a Daredevil Punisher crossover kind of thing set in the 70s.
Well, they own both now, so that's good. A Punisher TV series would be great.
Absolutely. Would it though? It would look...
As a Netflix.
As a Netflix show, absolutely.
Not as like an ABC.
No.
No, like a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Because it's a character that's all about just relentless machine gunning of people.
Yep.
100 bullets where one would do.
Yeah.
And the first trailer would come out and I'd see a CGI muscle flash and I'd be like, nope, not happening.
Yeah. Arrow does a lot of that though. A lot of CGI muscle flash.
Yeah, but
it's a different kind of
It's a different kind of thing, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, there you go.
If he was called Gun, then that would be a different story, but he's not, is he?
No.
Bullets.
Thomas Jane said as well that he's not really interested in coming back. Not because he doesn't really want to do it, but he said he kind of did the Punisher that he wanted to do with that short film, and he's like, maybe it's time to kind of give it to someone else.
Yeah, so, fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's good of him. Mm. Yeah. Like that he didn't threaten anybody.
Sure. Yeah.
He might be a bit old now anyway, or he doesn't, he doesn't look that Frank Castle, does he?
I feel he never did.
Okay. Yeah.
I think Ray Stevenson, who was in the sequel, looks a lot better.
He's dead on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second best casting after Simmons.
Okay. A lot of people have not seen that or aren't on board with it, but.
Yeah, a lot of people are not on board with it.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care what they think.
Well, maybe you should, Mason.
Nah.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. All right. Well, look, we're here to talk about something else, though, this week.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic Four trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, we're here to talk about many things.
Sure.
Let's not sell.
This might be a shorter episode.
Yeah.
We've done some long ones. A
couple long ones lately.
You know what it is because we've been recording them late at night.
Yeah.
I ramble a lot because I'm so tired.
And I often fall asleep and just leave that in.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. And then they come out kind of long. So we're keeping it pithy.
Yeah.
We're keeping it moving.
Yeah.
We're snapping over the recorder.
That's really loud.
I'm bringing castanets next week.
But yeah, the Fantastic Four trailer.
Yeah.
As I like to call it,
we're pretending this is Interstellar. I don't think this is this trailer, which came out this week, I don't think it's an actual accurate portrayal of what the movie's going to be.
Okay.
I think this is all smoke. This is, in a few years, this is going to come out on bloody, you know, cracked list of, you know, movie trailers that don't represent the movie accurately at all.
Like the Matrix one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
I can't remember that trailer. No. Okay, good point. Well, actually, Sam, who's the official New Jerseyan of the show, written in, he said, just wanted to say, I keep up the good work, and P.S. doesn't the first minute of the Fantastic Four trailer look like the Interstellar trailer?
Boy, does it.
It's like beat for beat.
Yeah.
I think if you line them up.
Cornfields.
Yep. Sadness.
Sad music.
People going into a space. Into humanity a space. And something.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Following your dream in space.
Yeah, there's almost no Fantastic Four in it.
No.
Or Fant Four Stick.
Yes.
As we're going to be calling it forever now.
I was going to put that in. I did a trailer breakdown, but I was like, oh, everybody said that, so yeah. I'm not going to say it. But it's yeah. Good. But I thought people didn't do that anymore.
Taken 3.
Yeah, but it's Taken 3, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah,
it?
Good yeah. point. This is technically the third Fantastic yeah. Four. So they should have called it Fant Three Stick.
But the thing is, though, the movie isn't officially spelt that way. It's just no. in the trailer it's like yeah, that. Yeah. So if you look it on IMDb, it's still Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Draven has written in also. He says, finally get a look at Fantastic Four, and it definitely impressed me. It looks less like a superhero film and more like a straight-up sci-fi film. And that's not necessarily a bad thing either. And I'm kind of on board for that. But also what you said about smoke and mirrors and whatever very much could be the case.
I'm not saying it's going to be a bad film.
That's what you're saying, though.
All right, I'll say that now.
You're thinking it. They can hear your thoughts on this.
Oh, no. I've been done in by technology yet again. I think that they're definitely obscuring what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's much more of a standard superhero film.
Okay.
And they've gone, well, Interstellar.
People sort of
like that. People liked it. But, you know, the trailer's built up a lot of hype.
Yeah.
Let's do that exact same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Okay, fair enough.
Pickup truck going down a road, farm road.
Yeah.
Cornfields.
Speeches about being the best for yep. humanity. Apparently, though, and yes. I've heard this from multiple sources, uh-huh. That's not to say it's true,
yep.
that this movie is a nightmare behind the scenes.
Right, right? Okay.
That Josh Trank has been really difficult to work with and turning uh-huh. up drunk and...
What? Allegedly.
Allegedly, exactly. So yeah. who actually knows? And look, but he also, him and the producer whose name I can't remember, Simon Kingbird, I think. They also did a commentary yes. behind uh-huh. the scenes on it.
Uh-huh.
What do you got there?
I'm looking at the trailer again.
Okay, cool. Yeah. They did like a commentary.
It's on silent, but we're going to pick that up.
That's fine. Yeah, yeah, they did a commentary on it, like, and explain the certain scenes and whatever. And so I think at this point they're very much...
I skipped it, but this trailer for the Fantastic Four...
Is the trailer
had for the Fantastic Four. Had an ad in front of it, which was the trailer for the Fantastic Four. Like, somebody has wasted a lot of money on that. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, so I feel like... Well, because they're doing a lot of reshoots also.
Uh-huh.
So I think they're going to go... Look, even if there was a lot of mess behind the scenes on this...
Mm-hmm.
Actually, let's just watch this for a minute.
Okay.
Should we just pause? Should I leave this in?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Oh, there's cornfields.
Yep.
Night sky, cornfields. Oh, there it is.
Car.
Experiments.
That's
Lil Reed Richards.
There's two of these transporting machines as well.
Oh,
there's an old one and a new one, yeah. Yep. They've got that Days of Future Past there pretty prominent, don't they?
Yeah.
Let people know.
And this is that's a Days of Future Past. Oh, okay. Interstellar, but also Days of yeah. Future Past sort of situation room, the yep. president.
See that number there? There's yes. a red number in the left-hand corner. You probably might have just
IP address, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I thought he was fixing a piano. You know, Johnny Storm's
oh,
right.
Sure.
I thought yeah. initially, I'm like, what?
Uh-huh.
So this is also that's very Interstellar.
There yeah. we go. There are six people on
yep.
that.
Yep. Did you watch my trailer breakdown, Mason?
No, but there's six people.
How dare you?
I'll get to it. I mean, there's no point now because I've just come up with some sweet observations.
You have.
Like them.
That Blade's very Dark Knight as well. There's yeah. a thing, briefly.
Yeah.
Kate Mara crying. Great. Sadness.
Yep.
Johnny Storm Fire. Being the Johnny Storm.
That's probably Doctor Doom doing that.
Yep. That's
this is also riveting Dr. listening, Doom. I'd imagine.
They don't show a lot of the powers either, like glimpses.
Not at flickers. All, exactly, yeah.
And then you see Doom at the end, sort of.
Do you think that's because the special effects are no good?
That's possible.
I think that looks like a good thing.
Definitely, yeah. yeah.
They've figured it out, finally.
Yeah. yeah. Did you like the chickless suit?
No.
I think it was exactly what they should have done at the time.
Right, uh-huh.
Can you imagine a 2005 CGI thing?
The worst, absolutely, yeah.
That's it.
Mm.
But, yeah, so if this is a mess, it doesn't yep. necessarily mean that it's going to turn out to be a mess. Like, World War Z was a mess, and that did very well.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And though it's not accurate to the book, it's okay. Like, it's not a... Have uh-huh. you seen it? It's not a bad movie.
I've seen the movie, yeah.
Yeah, it's fine. Mm.
Yeah, right? It's fine. Yeah. Very bloodless.
Yeah.
Mm.
It is.
Even though, the chopping handoff scene.
Though there's the cut, like, there's
oh, yeah,
another cut, which is very bloodless. Mm-hmm. Blooded. Yep. But not only that...
Trailer.
Oh, yeah, I was listening to a Cracked podcast earlier this week, and they had uh-huh. a lot of people from different editors-in-chief and writers... of different movie websites, and one mm-hmm. from Movie Pilot and whatever. One of the guys on it has said that a lot of what he's heard is, from all accounts, Fantastic Four... Oh, no, he didn't say specifically this Fantastic Four. He said there's two directors who are making big projects this year uh-huh. who haven't before.
Right.
Implying one was the Fantastic Four, uh-huh. and the other one might be Colin Trevorrow, who did Jurassic World.
Sure.
And he said one of them is a train wreck,
right?
And one of them is going to blow people away. And he said the one with the train wreck, like, he'll never make a big studio film again.
Wow.
So, I mean, again, it remains to be seen what happens, but...
Yeah.
He didn't specifically say Fantastic Four. He might not have, but it sounded like, because he said it's going back for reshoots, and it, which is Fantastic
Four. That's Fantastic Four, doing, exactly. So, yeah. Yeah. Okay, interesting. Yeah.
But I'd like to know, like, specifically who the other one was. I'm guessing it's Colin Trevorrow, but I don't actually know.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, you know what, Miles Teller's looking good in this?
Yeah, like, it's yeah. All, I think it's cast well,
mm-hmm.
but, yeah, so... What do you think? Like, there's the costumes and whatever. What do you think of the or the
lack they're kind of they're a little they're kind of steampunky the costumes yeah, yeah. weirdly. They've gone with
they're containment suits.
Yeah, but they're like they seem to be unique to each of them, yeah. sort of.
Yeah, well, so, Johnny Storm's one's got vents. Yeah, Reed Richards has got like stretchy things.
Stretchy things, yeah.
We don't really see Kate Mara's, and the Thing has no pants in that last.
At all, interesting. No. Wow,
you can skip to it. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And obviously they're going.
I think Kate Mara is a very good, looks like a very good Sue Storm.
Yeah.
That's kind of, that's the look I picture.
Okay.
For that character. So they've done well there.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. So do you think the powers like might not look that crash hot the way, that flame effect looks all right?
Yeah. No, it does. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. They do magical things with flame effects now.
They do.
Yeah. Since Ghost Rider.
Now, obviously, in this one, it's based...
They fixed flame effects between Ghost Riders 1 and 2.
They did.
Ghost Rider 2 actually looked pretty good. But as I've mentioned, Leather Jacket, not as good in Ghost Rider 2.
Not as great. Mm. But obviously, in this one, they go into the negative zone.
Yep.
As opposed to going, space.
So this is more the Ultimate Universe version of Fantastic Four. They don't go into space. They go to the negative zone. And you're saying that the second transporter device is maybe them going back into the negative zone.
Yeah, I would say so, okay. Yeah.
Maybe. So,
have you read a lot of the Ultimate Fantastic Four? Because I haven't read any of it at all.
Maybe like the first 20 issues. Yeah. Maybe something like that.
I've heard it's okay from from what people say.
I mean, Victor Von Doom is called Victor Van Damme.
Yeah.
So that's...
Well, this is not called Victor Von Doom either. Yeah. It's called Victor Domachev or something.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
But also, there's a lot of reports that he's a blogger. But right. I think that was a kind of off-the-cuff thing. Because people, when Toby Kebbell mentioned that, he also used the word programmer.
Right, okay.
So I think... He'd probably be more a programmer than a blogger.
Yeah. I don't feel threatened by him. You know what? Honestly, I don't feel threatened by a programmer or a blogger, but programmer more so.
Have you not seen Die Hard 4? There's a lot of programming in
there. There's a lot of programming, isn't there?
Yeah. And hacking and whatnot. Mm.
Satellites.
But they've also, the directors talked about, like, it's very Cronenbergian.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of the transformation.
Yeah, transformation. And it looks kind of more like Doom in this. It looks like his suit.
Melted garbage bags.
Yeah, it's just melted to him. And you can sort of see it in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's how he's deformed. And the Thing's looks kind of more, you know, that metamorphosis kind of...
And he kind of breaks out of that
weird
rock cocoon kind of thing. Yeah.
And that kind of happens in The Fly, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And probably other David Cronenberg things. So I like that aspect of it. I think this is going to be... it's obviously going to be a very different looking than a Marvel movie. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I mean, you can have your dark superhero movies and...
I don't think it's going to look that different from...
Oh, really?
I think it's going to look mostly the same.
I don't know.
I think it's more because when we think of Marvel Studios films, I think most of them take place in the daytime now, and this is taking place at night. So it's going to be more reminiscent of, say, Daredevil or something
Ghost
else
Rider
that's garbage.
One.
Yeah. Yeah, Ghost Rider 1, exactly. I think that's all they're talking about, is it's a different...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you liked the bit at the end, didn't you, with the blue beam? That Stephen Miller's written, and he said, Hollywood can't have an action sequence without pulling some sort of bluish beam of light energy into the sky and then letting everyone know that something bad is happening.
Mm.
So that happened in Transformers, Man of Steel, Avengers.
Iron Man 1?
Probably. When did that happen in Iron
the
Man
big,
1?
The bloody... The arc reactor explodes at the end. Yeah.
It's really good, isn't it?
Pretty good. there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
You want to know what's happening there.
You do, don't good. You?
What else was I going to say? Something about Fantastic Four.
So you're very obviously sceptical.
Very sceptical.
Do you think this will be terrible? Or do you think there's a chance it could be good?
I think the casting's a lot better than the previous Fantastic Four films.
Okay.
I think, for me, that's probably going to carry the film for me.
Yeah.
But I would... I don't know. It feels a lot like the other two Fantastic Four films.
Really?
It feels like... Like, I'm talking script-wise.
Oh, okay.
Like, I know that they're going in the negative zone now instead of outer space or whatever, but it does still feel like the setting is New York and there's going to be a big showdown, and we see that kind of blast of light.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's going to be a showdown in New York at night, and it's going to be mostly the same. But yeah,
Okay,
so who the six people that go into the negative zone initially?
Yeah.
I'm holding up five fingers, but the audience can tell that.
Yes.
Look, I didn't want to use my other hand. I'm buying stuff on ASOS. It's the Fantastic Four, Doom, yep. and...
Someone else. Some people have said maybe the Mole Man Man.
Really? Mole Man Man?
Yeah.
But he lives under the ground. He's a Mole Man. But
maybe that's where he gets his Mole Man powers.
No, he's always had them.
Yeah, but in this, it's different, though.
Nah, I don't like that. I like the fact that in the Fantastic Four universe, all kinds of crazy stuff is coming from all angles.
Yeah, cool. I agree. Not everybody has to get their powers from the same place.
Exactly.
Spider-Man, the amazing Spider-Man.
Exactly.
Everybody gets their powers from the basement.
Flash TV series. Everybody's got the same powers from the bloody whatever. Yeah. I don't like any... Yeah, any universe where... Well, I'm sure there's a few, but... Like when you reduce... say, the Marvel Universe down to one thing like the Fantastic Four film franchise and go, well, everybody gets their powers from a cosmic radiation event or something, or Smallville or whatever. It's always meteor rocks.
It's the green rock.
Yeah, it's that green rock, that good old green rock. I would say it's probably either somebody they have to rescue, maybe.
Yep.
Okay. That's why they have to go back.
Yep.
That might be a reason. Or he's cannon fodder.
And then he's the Mole Man. Yeah, that's what I said as well. Okay. Or he's cannon fodder, yeah.
Yeah, just to say, well, this is a dangerous universe.
Maybe they go back and he's like, now I'm the Mole Man.
Oh, twist.
Yeah.
It'd be a big twist.
That would be a great twist. Mm-hmm. Look, regardless.
Yes.
I am looking forward to this just to see what is the deal.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm going to say best movie for whenever it comes out. Whatever year.
This whatever year?
Then definitely not. Definitely not then. No.
So yeah, we're all happy with all of this. I think, or whatever.
Yeah.
Look, the next trailer will tell us a lot more. And the movie itself will tell us a lot more.
Oh, it'll definitely probably tell us everything.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But I think, Mason, that's all we're going to talk about for stuff this week before other things.
Oh, yes.
So let's move on to...
So a quick one. And also, new equipment.
Yeah.
There's always a chance this doesn't record.
Yes.
And if we bang on for 2 hours about whatever and then all of a sudden we get nothing...
We'll be real upset.
We'll be real upset.
So you know what it's time for, though?
What is it time for?
What we reading?
Oh, what we going to read.
Correct.
Right.
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? What are you going to read?
Well, what I'm going to read actually is what I'm going to listen to. Is it coming out this week?
What's that?
You're going to be guest appearing.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be making a guest appearance on a podcast called Plumbing the Death Star.
Yes. That was my what we reading.
You can't have it. Also, you're not going to listen to yourself.
I have to. Yeah, I'm going to listen to it.
Don't do that.
Why not? I have to listen to this every week.
Yeah, but you don't have to. Look, it doesn't matter.
But I enjoy doing it, so I'd like to hear it back.
Okay, right, great. You know what I mean? That's good too.
So yeah, basically this is a podcast from Australian guys who live near us called Plumbing the Death Star. I know you know this.
Yeah, I know this.
But basically I went to their podcast area and they've got like a proper setup. Uh-huh. You know, ours is crap.
It's great now. How crisp it is.
That
was a fly flapping its wings. That's how good this is. Anyway, Plumbing the Death Star, they sort of talk about the logistics of various, like, sci-fi.
I can give you some examples.
Sci-fi scenarios. Yeah. For example, like...
not necessarily sci-fi.
Yeah, but just like movie universe ideas, and they sort of break down the logic of it. So for example, when does sentience begin in Toy Story?
Yep. Why hasn't Hogwarts been shut down?
Well, how was everyone okay with the Truman Show, like in that universe? And why did it, like, how much did it cost, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, how do they get the funding for that?
Yeah.
You know?
Which horror movie villain would you fight?
Mm-hmm.
Is Obi-Wan Kenobi incompetent? That's a good one. If you go to this, just scroll through and just pick something you like. And they're like, you know, they're breezy. They're like 30 to 40 minutes. They're like... easy to listen to.
Can you reveal the topic you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, basically, it won't be out this week, but it'll be out closer to May. They're getting in a whole lot of...
Nice, then I've got mine covered for the next... got my what you reading covered for weeks now.
That's right. My topic was... they're getting a whole lot of different people to come in and talk about the Star Wars prequels and how they would have made them.
Right, okay.
So basically, I came up with a trilogy of prequels.
Oh, sure.
And then we kind of just went through that. So,
fantastic.
And it was good fun. And they've got, like I said, proper recording. They've got people sitting on the other side of glass, like monitoring stuff.
Whoa.
We don't have that, do we? No. We've got that glass window, but there's nothing out there.
No, that's
there's
true.
There's a bin and my Christmas tree.
Sure.
yeah. that I've been meaning to get rid of. But
and I've hung a sign over it that just says "Our listeners" on the Christmas tree.
So yeah, I would definitely yeah. It's kind of in a similar vein to kind of how we do it. And by that I mean we're both Australian.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
So yeah. Sans Pants Radio, that's what they're kind of called, and they do a few podcasts, but Plumbing the Death Star
is inherently the best one because you've been
apparently
on.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
but yeah, anything else you're going to read?
Let me check what I've been reading.
I can do one from Phil, the official web slinger, in the meantime.
Fantastic, I'd like to hear it.
Hey guys, you guys should check out the Zombie Fallout series of books by Mark Tufo. They're a great series of books that are horror / comedy genre. Well worth a read. I've heard that they are getting the comic book treatment soon, so keep an eye out for them as well.
Cool.
We will keep an eye out for them.
Yeah.
Will you?
Yes.
Good.
Better write it down, because otherwise I'll definitely forget and not do that. So that's great. Oh, you know what I've been watching, actually, and it's been out for a while.
Yeah.
It's a review with Forrest McNeil.
Okay.
So in Australia, there was a show also called Review.
Yeah.
By...
Oh, that dude.
Somebody.
Red hair guy.
Yeah. Dubai. Doesn't matter. Anyway, there's an American version of it, and it's been out recently, a couple of years ago, but I've only just got around to it. And it's with comedian Andy Daly.
He's the best.
As Forrest McNeil, and he's a guy who reviews everything. Like, he doesn't review, like, movies or TV shows. He reviews things like stealing or getting a divorce or getting addicted to drugs or what have you. And so it's...
Is it better than the Australian version?
They're both good. I think that this one there's more consequences.
Okay.
Like in the original one, like if he reviewed, say, stealing, the next week it'd just be a new episode.
Yep, yep.
But in this one, sort of the consequences build up throughout the course of the season. So it's pretty funny.
Pretty dark Andy Daly.
Definitely. Yeah. Okay, but that's a good show.
Alright, I'll check it out.
Do that.
Let's move on to letters. It's time for letters.
Oh yes.
This is from Mark. Hi James. Official Captain Canuck here. Just got through listening to the podcast about...
We already have an official Captain Canuck, but whatever.
Well, we got two.
Great.
No, we can't. They have to fight.
They have to fight, exactly, yeah. Unless whatever powers they have, I don't know.
Just got through listening to the podcast and the Short Circuit 2 clip that I definitely put in, because I remember.
Oh, yeah, great.
Made me remember that not only was that movie filmed in my hometown, Toronto, but my mum brought me downtown as a child to watch the movie Magic for myself. The movie is complete garbage. Well, I don't know about that. But watching it set in New York City whilst being littered with Toronto landmarks is really jarring. I had the same issue with the latest Hulk film, which was filmed at the doorstep of my university. I was wondering if either you or your dickhead co-host...
Hang on. Who's he talking about? You don't have... Oh, all right.
Have similar issues watching movies filmed in Australian cities but set elsewhere. Thanks, guys.
Ghost Rider was filmed in Melbourne?
It was, yeah.
That was...
I mean, that movie's jarring to watch regardless.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, but that,
you're not jarred by the locations.
It's supposed to be set in Texas, is it, or something?
Yes, I think so,
but it's clearly...
Yeah.
It's very...
First, Melbourne. I think, movie appearance of Rebel Wilson.
Yeah, she's that's that. Like right. a goth yeah. girl. Yeah, that's right.
There was a Jackie Chan film made in Melbourne.
Rumble in the Bronx?
No, it was called Mr. Nice Guy,
okay. And the Tuxedo.
Not the Tuxedo, no.
Rush Hour 3.
Yes.
Go on, sorry.
And they filmed a sequence in like Melbourne Central, which is like the big, you know, the big shopping district in the center of Melbourne,
yeah.
kind of thing. And I was there for the filming of that. And it was just a lot of the director yelling at people to shut up, like as they walked past. Like, we're filming a movie, shut up. And as Jackie Chan.
In a shopping center.
Yeah, but it was outside, sort of at night kind of thing, but he was real grumpy and I didn't care for it.
You know what? It's outside.
Yeah.
You shut up.
Yeah, exactly. You shut up. Thank you, James.
So exactly. Did you see any Jackie Chan stunts?
There was a lot of him sort of running up and down an escalator, but that was about it.
Was there a bit where he'd maybe run into a room and then bad guys are there and he does this kind of weird kind of double take and then runs in a different direction?
No, there weren't any bad guys. It was just him.
Oh, okay.
What else? The Matrix.
Is that the twist in that movie?
Yeah. No bad guys ever. The twist in that film is that there's a tape, like a videotape that's got some incriminating evidence on it.
I don't know what that is, but yeah.
Yeah, but the version on the tape, like that he puts into a, you know, a VCR or whatever and he watches, actually has edits and cuts in it. Like the ones we see in the film, they've just taken the stuff they filmed for the movie and they put it directly and like put some grain over the top of it or whatever and put it on this thing. So he's watching this incriminating tape and it just has edits in it, even though it's supposed to be filmed. Like it's got edits and cuts from different angles, despite the fact that it's supposed to be filmed on one video camera all in one shot. Yeah, the Matrix films were filmed in Sydney.
Yeah, they were.
So you see some Australian.
Yeah, I didn't.
What is most jarring generally is that is the bad American accents.
Definitely.
That, or the featured extras are forced to put on usually.
And I find that in the Star Wars prequels as well. Yeah. The second two anyway, because they were filmed in Australia. But yeah, there's a lot of that in that as well.
Mm.
But yeah, no, if there's ever anything filming, I stay right away from it.
Good
I don't
idea.
Want anything to do with it. Yeah, I don't want to be held up and whatever. I don't care. It's like the time when we saw Hugh Jackman. Remember we went and saw the Days of Future Past premiere
thing,
and he was like behind a crowd of people and we just went, ugh, whatever.
Yeah, this is not worth it.
It's not that I don't love Hugh Jackman, I do, but I'm like, I'm not shoving through just so I can see a guy who I know what he looks like.
Right, exactly. Do you know what I mean? What benefit are we going to get from that?
Yeah.
Hey, Hugh, are you enjoying being in the country you were born in? Sure am, mate. Thumbs up, big thumbs up. And
but
we'll
he
be
wouldn't
like,
hear us because there'd be thousands of people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually got a letter, very nice letter this week from a guy who, Hugh Jackman comes into his shop, so he's like the nicest guy ever.
Oh.
So, no surprise there.
Totally.
Yeah. This is from Callum. Hello, chaps. Loving the show and must thank you for brightening each Monday morning and late night listens. The question I propose to you this week is, should you accept it? What do you think will happen to Marvel post Phase 3?
Oh.
I feel I'll not be able to fill up there's something Infinity Wars and things go bad and whatever. I don't know. What do you think?
I think they're going to start again ground level.
Okay.
I think we're going to do Infinity War. We're going to do the most kind of cosmic, the biggest event we can.
Yeah.
And I think they'll be like, well, we can't get any bigger than that. So I think they'll start again. They'll pick some more ground level characters.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll take the Netflix characters.
Okay,
build
sure.
Build a show around them. Maybe because we're going to have a Defenders TV series.
Defenders,
maybe
yeah.
they could do a Defenders movie. Something
okay,
like
yeah,
that.
Sure.
I don't know, they might... I think they're going to start up with minor characters
again.
Yeah,
you're probably right.
Who would you like to see...
Maybe in the new roster.
In the new roster, if they're starting it completely. I'd like to see Next Wave. I know they're kind of a joke team.
Sure, yeah.
But I really like all those guys. And I think it would be... Like, it would be a... Next Wave is sort of a... If you haven't read Next Wave, you should definitely read it. It's by Warren Ellis. It's super. It's very funny.
Yeah.
And it's super over the top. And it's called Next Wave Agents of Hate.
Right.
And it's about... These guys who used to... It's about a lot of kind of superheroes and former superheroes, like a half dozen members of the team, who were unaware that working for an organization called HATE, like H-A-T-E, who are unaware they were the bad guys, and then sort of break out and go rogue and have to just, you know, find and stop all
sounds
these guys.
Sounds a lot like Alias Mason.
It does sound great. Then we're totally on board. And the leader of HATE is like a Nick Fury-esque character who's... out of his mind completely.
Oh, great.
And it's a lot of fun. But it's got like, it's got Machine Man.
Yep.
Who sort of rose to prominence in Marvel Zombies and stuff like that.
Yep.
And later,
oh, that's a really good run, isn't it?
Yeah.
Machine Man, yeah.
Yeah. It's so this was prior to that.
Okay.
It's got Monica Rambeau, who used to be one of the Captain Marvels.
Mm.
It's got the Captain, who is, like, he's got generic super strength and superpowers, but he's just an asshole all the time.
Great.
It's got Boom Boom from the X-Men. And some other people, and it's just, they're just... Oh, it's got Elsa Bloodstone, who's a monster hunter.
Great,
and
good.
They're kind of, they're just, they're a really dysfunctional team, and they're really fun.
Okay.
And I would like to see that. And I think once we've done, you know, Infinity War, people who are not comic book fans who have gone all the way through all those characters and all those events, they would be up for more kind of... like meta stuff.
Sure.
That is a bit silly.
Well, I was thinking maybe Ms. Marvel, the current Ms. Marvel.
Yeah, okay, that would work too,
And that would be good as a ground level kicking off point.
Yeah.
Because at that point, obviously the Avengers are super famous.
Yep.
And we'd have a whole lot of other heroes introduced and whatever.
Totally.
So why not start there?
I would like to see, and again, if we're talking about more meta stuff, I would like to see a damage control film.
Oh, yeah, yep.
That
definitely.
Would be super good, I think.
Yeah, that would be cool. But anyway.
Probably
other things. We probably talk about that. We'll probably do an episode on that.
For those who don't, Damage Control is a private company who is employed by the city of New York to rebuild the city every time all the superheroes destroy it.
Yeah.
Which was a series in, I guess, the early 90s. And it's super fun. And it would make sense, you know, once you got the idea of, well, there's all these superhero battles, New York is constantly being destroyed. Who's fixing that? Damage Control.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of thing.
And they love their jobs.
Yeah.
Not true?
They go on strike at one point.
Great.
It's pretty good. There's a scene in the first issue where I think it's I think it's one of the Tinkerer's robots goes mad and he collapses onto the World Trade Center buildings. You can edit this out. And, you know, they have to rebuild the city or whatever because it's run rampage or whatever. And there's a scene where right at the end, like the foreman of damage control, like the main kind of boots on the ground guy, he's looking out his window and he sees the two World Trade Center towers and one's like incredibly crooked. Like it's got like a huge crack in it and the top half is like, you know, 10 feet to the left of the bottom half or whatever. And he's like, eh, close enough. So, you know.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right. We'll do an episode on that, no doubt. Mm-hmm. This is from Billy Arundel.
Oh, yeah, from Twitter. You know? I'm a big fan of him. I don't know if he's a big fan of me.
He hates you.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Fair enough. I'm not changing my stance on this guy. I believe in him.
I live under a rock when it comes to some Marvel books, so to speak. And then he says, in brackets, literally. And I've never really read much Fantastic Four material, and I don't own any of it. I was wondering if there are any standouts for either of you that are worth a read.
Oh, he mentioned that on Twitter.
Oh, yeah, make him get around to it. Hard copies, because he buys hard copies.
Okay. I liked, there was a Marvel Knights miniseries. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's an ongoing, but it was a Fantastic Four series where they go bankrupt.
Yep.
And they sort of have to move out of the Baxter building and all that sort of stuff and sort of rebuild their lives.
Okay.
And that's a really good series. There's a series called Future Foundation.
Yes.
Which is sort of a spin-off. And it's sort of the idea being that, you know, the Fantastic Four save the world, but the Future Foundation has to sort of, is finding solutions to make a better world.
Okay.
And it's kind of a bigger team.
Yep.
It's got like, it's got the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man's on it, on the team as well. It's got Christoph, who is Doctor Doom's son.
Yep.
It's got Dragon Man, who is a robot Dragon Man.
Love it.
It's got all kinds of stuff. And okay. It's a good, really good series.
So those two things.
Just those two things.
I recommend the new Fantastic Four movie.
Great. Fantastic. Yeah. Can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong.
Mm.
It's from Dale Martin, the official couch-sized dog of the podcast.
Oh.
Very good. That's like the guy for the kept dog from Inhumans. That's where I came from.
Yeah,
as we said, doesn't matter.
Oh, great. Yes.
Not important. Yeah. Hey, guys. I've been mulling over an idea that I wanted to suggest to you for an episode of the podcast for a while now. I've come up...
Lockjaw is his name.
Yes. Yeah. The idea I've come up with is great, in my opinion. I hope you think it's great, too. The basic idea is similar to the hero and villain showdown episodes, but instead of that, we, the fans, email you guys the names of actors and actresses and tell us... And you tell us what comic book character they would be best at playing.
Okay.
That sounds good.
I thought we were going to face them off in a fight.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought as well. We'll do both of those things. Uh-huh. So, yeah, I'm all for that, doing like a casting kind of thing. And also, like, who would win between James Woods and
Block of wood.
J.K. Simmons.
Just a big block of wood dropped really from a high ceiling.
Yeah, good question.
Mm.
It's hard to know, isn't it?
Isn't it, though, yeah.
He'd probably do a tuck and roll.
Yeah, he's been good like that. Yeah. He's fast.
Hi, James. I'm Shane from London, brackets England. Been listening since I found your awesome videos on YouTube. I've been catching up. I'm still catching up. I have about 20 to go and I'll get up to date soon. I wanted to email and thank you for getting through my working day without killing my coworkers. So thank you very much. So thanks.
No problem.
From them too. Also wanted to be the official geeky gay of the show because I'm very geeky and slightly gay. Done.
Absolutely.
P.S. This is the bit that I want to get to. Why does Mason look like an anorexic Tony Stark? Snap. That I would say you don't, you have like a same build.
I look like a fatter Tony Stark, if anything.
Really?
Yeah.
I'd like to see you guys side by side. I'd like to...
Well, he's taller, marginally.
I don't think that he is.
No, he would be. I mean, you see him where he wears like... He wears like, what are they called, stilts?
I think he's like 5'6", 5'7".
He could not be 5'7". There's no way. I reckon he's like 5'10".
Nah, I don't reckon he is.
Okay. But, I'm like 5'7".
Okay.
So
We'll never know, will we?
We'll never know because there's no way to find that out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is from Manu. Hello, guys. My name is Manu from San Diego, California.
Hello.
Brackets London. Not really. Just wanted to say I love your podcast because unlike other media review sites, you guys know that your opinion doesn't matter and that's why I value it so much.
Wait a second. Our opinions don't matter? You've been telling me lies this whole time.
I had a question. I had a question for you too. Since I haven't seen the original Star Wars trilogy, I was wondering if I need to watch them because I want to watch Star Wars The Force Awakens, but I'm a little intimidated by everything. I don't know about the Star Wars universe. I've seen the prequels when I was a kid, so I don't remember them that well, but I recently watched the Star Wars The Clone Wars animated series and loved it. I just wanted to ask because I'm sure there are others in my boat. Thanks. Grab those gemses and fuck art.
Nice. Good. He's covered all the bases.
Yes. I think you should watch him.
Look, I think there are certain films that still hold up.
Yeah. Short Circuit 2.
Short Circuit 2.
Generation X, the movie.
Yeah, the pilot movie, yeah.
Pilot movie.
Occasionally I'll go to, there's a cinema in Melbourne called the Astor, mm-hmm. which is closing down soon, which is very sad.
Good.
Wait a second. But they'll run old films, and they might run, you know, Raiders, they might do a run of Indiana Jones films or whatever, and they'll do Raiders. And like, you know, people will go in and, you know, younger people who haven't seen that at all ever. Like there's people who are in it for the nostalgia value.
Mm.
And I see people go in and just really enjoy.
Yeah.
Like they still hold up because they're well written and they're, you know, enjoyable films kind of thing. And I think Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back definitely would still hold up in that kind of situation.
Yeah.
I'd say maybe see it on the biggest screen you can.
Sure.
Like maybe wait for there to, you know.
They'll definitely do like a marathon near you or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There'll be a local cinema. It's like, hey, come and watch all the Star Wars movies overnight or whatever. And do that. Do that with a crowd. I think that would be really enjoyable. Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. You can probably skip 3.
Yeah.
You can probably skip Return of the Jedi. Just know
everything, you need to see.
Everything works out fine.
Yeah, but you need to see it.
I guess you do. All right, complete the trilogy. All right, wait. Wait for there to be a trilogy release at your local cinema. Yeah. Watch them all.
If you can, try and watch them, I guess, as close to the originals as you can, I guess, instead of the special editions.
Yeah,
not that it really matters that much. I mean, they're the same. You get the idea.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, look, I think they're fun action films.
Yeah.
So
especially Return of the Jedi, you said.
No, I don't say that at all.
Did you really?
You put lies in
They heard your thoughts. So.
Oh, no.
Hello, James and Mason. I heard on Stuff You Should Know podcast that marketing directly to children was outlawed in Australia many years ago. Is this true? If so, had this affect your buying habits when you were kids? Were toys and collectibles a big thing for you guys as they were for us in the US? As a Gen Xer, I remember being bombarded by Star Wars toys and McDonald's Happy Meals commercials as a kid. How about you guys? Cheers from Charlie. P.S. Sorry if I sounded like a douche for referring to myself as a Gen Xer.
No, that's all right.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
We're Gen Y, aren't we? Are we?
We're Y.
Yeah.
Yeah. It stands for yeah.
It does. When we were kids, that law did come in, didn't it? But that wasn't in place when we were kids.
No, I don't think so.
They marketed everything all the time to us. Yeah. A lot of cereals. I think it was pretty similar to the US.
I think so.
A lot
so,
of action figures.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Transformers that turned into rocks. Remember those guys?
Yeah, the Rock Lords.
By the way, did you
know? They were GoBots, by the way.
They were connected, were they?
Yeah, they were a spin-off of the GoBots.
The GoBots might be coming a movie, not a joke.
Great.
Imagine if it's a better movie than Transformers.
Not hard. Why wouldn't it be a better movie? There's no way it could be a work... Unless it's done by, like, the Asylum, the guys that do, like, Mega Shark vs. John Octopus or whatever.
Yeah.
If it's...
No, they've got Transmorphers. They don't need...
I think... Do Hasbro own the GoBots now?
I think they do. I think you're right, actually.
Then maybe it will be as bad.
Crossover.
But maybe, okay, how about this?
Mm.
They don't care about it as much, so they give it to, like, an unknown director who makes a good movie.
Yeah.
And they've been, you know, and they're like, we don't understand. Why is it good? You know?
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
I'll watch that.
Yeah, definitely.
Leader One, Psy-Kill,
the one that
the Rock Lords.
The one that turned into a car.
Yeah.
He's a good one.
Great.
Do they have guys that combine into a bigger guy?
Not that I remember.
Hmm.
They had like...
That's not true.
Yeah, they had like battle suits that they could get into.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like so people. Like I get into clothes to go and do things.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, about that law. I know there was something passed, but there's so many ways around it. I don't really think that...
No, I don't. I remember a lot of stuff being marketed to us.
Yeah,
whether that law was in place or not.
This is relatively recently, though. But we don't obviously get up and watch things early in the morning like kids' TV shows.
Right.
But all the advertising is already in the shows. Like, if you watch... whatever kids watch, Ben 10, which I don't think is that popular anymore, you still want to go and buy all the Ben 10 stuff.
Boy, do I.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't think it makes that big a difference. No. I think the biggest thing was, I think they stopped marketing a lot of sugar cereals.
Yeah, totally.
Because they don't really push those here as much as they do in the States.
No, not at all.
Yeah, I hate that shit anyway. I'm not a fan.
Wow.
Do you like it?
Look, steady on with your trademark rant there, mate. We've had enough of it, all right?
What cereal do you enjoy?
No, I like Frosties. I won't lie to you.
Yeah, look, I'm not saying, like, you know, those Fruit Loops, they're completely inedible. I don't know how.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Garbage.
Blows my mind. Mm-hmm. Anyway, last email.
Anyway, we had a whole bunch of action. Had all the action.
Yeah,
figures.
We had all that
stuff. Just pile them up.
Pile them up
in a trolley and I'll take them all.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Hey, James, it's the guy who failed his exams because he didn't revise because he couldn't stop listening to the podcast of the podcast.
Nice.
I'm going to study English at university next year in the hopes of becoming a journalist, hopefully in the area of film and television. I was hoping since you're an editor at comicbookmovie.com.
This one's for you, I'm going to tune out.
Get back on that ASOS.
Good, yeah.
Keep that site's loaded.
It has. It's much improved. They fixed it, I think.
If you guys could give me some advice on how to achieve my dreams. Thanks for reading, Alex from the UK. I get this question a lot, and I think we should do a Q&A shortly. And look, I'm no authority on anything, as you know.
Oh, right? I'm aware. I've met you.
But I think the most important thing is obviously an online presence.
Yes,
you got to you go in with a bank of work that you've already done. Yeah. And the thing is as well, you can make enough money off that.
Yeah,
it'll take years,
right?
But you can make money off it, and sites do begin to notice. Like my stuff started every now and then it gets picked up. Like I had something on Dorkly earlier this week,
or IO9, or one of those. Yeah, okay, great.
And that's I was really happy. But you got to build something yourself. That's how you. That's how you get noticed. Yeah, no one's going to hand you a job, unfortunately. No, which is exactly. Annoying.
Yeah, I know, right? How dare they? But, yeah, no, you're right. In that, you know, I'm sure, you know, back in the day, you probably still had to hustle for work and that sort of thing. Yeah. But, you know, you could get the degree and get out there and people would be impressed by that. But
they'd like your moxie.
They would love your moxie. Yeah. Just kick down that door and demand something. But now, like, there's so much out there on the internet for free.
Yeah.
That... You know, people, and especially now that a lot of websites are just sort of content aggregators.
Yeah.
They don't need to purchase content from anyone. No. They can just be like, hey, this website said this. Yeah. And just put the
exactly.
link.
Like, there's very few websites, not very few, but less have like a writing staff than they used to.
Yeah.
And like The Escapist obviously has a whole lot of people making videos and writing articles. Cracked is the same.
Yeah.
And because they're massive, massive websites. But for Comic Book Movie, which still does very well, that's all based... The way it works is you post an article and you get the ad revenue from that.
Uh-huh.
And I only post like 2 a week. I do post a podcast and maybe a video.
Yep.
So I don't get a lot of money from that. It's more the exposure.
Sure, yeah.
But the way that I got started there was I just posted it because anybody can post user-submitted things.
Uh-huh.
And I posted a few... You know, not really thinking anything of it, and then I made an Iron Man 3. I don't like this movie very much.
Sure.
Video, and the current editor emailed me and said, "Hey, do you want to make some stuff for us or whatever?" And I was like, "Fuck, absolutely, definitely." So like,
you had to quit with the language.
Yeah, so
you had to do that initially. Sure.
So it's just about building up a bank of stuff, and I guess what's that? 10,000 hours of something until you're good at it.
Yeah,
is that right?
I don't know if that's accurate.
Yeah, well, some people are really long better, time. But I feel like. You got to practice.
You got to practice and you've got to put stuff out there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I read a piece of advice, which was something like, or someone told me, you got to work like there's somebody working 24 hours a day against you.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Because
again, like we said, there are people
there
who are just...
There is somebody against
there
you.
There is, there's just, I mean, it, you know, it's not, yeah, there's somebody, if you're reviewing movies and you want to make that a career, there's somebody reviewing movies who's just doing it because they love to do that.
And they've got... 50 times the amount of subscribers and whatever.
And they've got a lot of free time
exactly.
or whatever.
Yeah. And the other thing is you've got to make it unique to you.
Mm.
Like there's 1,000 guys who are sitting in front of a webcam with a boring blank wall behind them as they talk about the Fantastic Four trailer.
Yeah.
And who gives a shit, right?
And you've got a boring blank wall and a microphone, but you cover up that.
Exactly.
With little animation things.
Yeah, that's right. And so you've got to make it so why would somebody...
And swearing.
Why would somebody come to you over somebody else?
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And you got to make that unique. So get out there and make me worse at my job.
Yeah.
Put me out of the job. But yeah, I don't know. That's kind of how you do it. Or be rich and know somebody.
Yeah, that works too. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, but yeah, you're basically... I've only like started to make money off YouTube now in the past probably 6 months.
Uh-huh.
But I do this like...
And that occasionally will be cut off all of a sudden.
That's right, for no reason.
If you break a rule suddenly or like somebody complains, somebody's like, I don't like what you said about the Winter Soldier. He's my favorite. I'm going to report you for racism or whatever. And then they just dump you from YouTube.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So it can be taken away at any point. Yeah. But I got to that point where I'm making some money.
Uh-huh.
And through the Patreon and whatever is / Mr. Sunday Movies for
patreon.com/Mr. Sunday Movies, yeah.
Because I work at this like I have a regular job and I get home and I do this till like midnight. Then I go to bed and I get up and I check the
news.
You
dream about comic book
movies. I do, yeah. And then I look at it in the morning and then maybe the lunchtime at work I'll go and make something and then I'll come back and
So if you can hate your coworkers, that's good, and then avoid them.
Like I try to make it, like I'd make it breezy and fun, and I enjoy doing it.
Yep.
But like I literally put like every spare second of my time into this.
Yeah, yeah.
And But I'm not saying you have to do that, but there has to be some level of dedication. Yeah.
You'd have more spare time before and after this podcast if I showed up on time. But you're like, show up at 8, and I'm like, okay. And then it's 8:30 and you're like,
That's fine. It doesn't matter. I forgot to factor that in. So.
I figured. Shouldn't have said that though, because now I'll show up at 9.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. But yeah, that's just, work hard and stuff, I guess. And of course, there's no guarantees. You also kind of have to be slightly good at something, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. But I'm sure you'll be the best.
Absolutely.
You, Mason.
Thank you. Finally.
Yeah. Believe in your dreams. That's the show for this week.
Absolutely.
Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk for the themes.
Yeah. Thank you to Golden Legend.
Yes.
For the logo and for the t-shirts.
Yeah, for the t-shirts. Yeah. Mm. If you go to redbubble.com. Yeah. Or if you just type in the Weekly Planet t-shirts.
Probably the first result.
The first result, yeah. And people have been sending us pictures of them wearing that stuff and with mugs and whatever. So
yeah.
We might do another giveaway at
iPhone cases, all kinds of stuff. It's everywhere.
Pretty great. Yeah, so thank you to those people.
Yeah. Like I said, I've not seen one in the wild yet.
Yeah.
But first person I see, I'm going to get a sweet photo, put it up on Twitter. Second person gets a punch in the face. Then I'm just going to alternate.
Yeah.
So you'll never know.
You'll never know.
You'll never know.
Yeah. I, you know what? If I see someone wearing it, I don't know if I'd actually stop them. I reckon I'd just keep going.
I think you'd follow them creepily for a while to see what they're up to. This guy.
You know, it was weird when I went and saw the Plumbing the Death Star guys. I've never met anybody who knows who I am through the internet.
Uh-huh.
And that was really kind of bizarre, but kind of nice. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Sure.
And they're really good guys. Anyway.
Great stuff.
Next week, I don't know.
We'll talk about comic book movie stuff. Probably.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Why don't we?
Yeah. You can find us on the internet.
Yes.
At Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook and Twitter and Gmail. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter.
Find me on Dorkly because I'm a big time YouTube celebrity.
Oh, jeez, this guy. It's gone in your head already. If you could email in and knock him down a peg or two, that would be great. That'd be real good. What else we got?
Mr. Sunday Movies.
Patreon.com/Mr. Yep. Sunday Movies.
And my YouTube channel and Twitter as well.
Subscribe, tell people about the show. I don't know.
Yeah,
at a certain point, the plugs at the end are going to be longer than the actual show.
Yeah.
And then we end.
Exactly.
We're done. Like, we stop then.
That's it. Yeah.
Anything else? We got anything else to plug?
Nah, probably not.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Let's just have a good time.
Yeah, mate. Oh, is that our new sign off?
I guess
hey,
so.
Let's everybody have a good time, I guess.
Grab the gems.
Grab that gem. That's what we say.
Hashtag.
All right.
Grab that gem. Bye, guys.
See you guys.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.